Hey, you're the black pen. This is from iol.co.za. Chris Hani's wife slams Concord judges as killer Janus Wallace set for parole release. Pretoria, the Constitutional Court ruled on Monday that Chris Hani's killer Janus Wallace is eligible for parole and should be released within 10 days. Wallace's release comes after numerous failed applications by the Minister of Justice, with the first parole hearing held in 2011. He tried again in November 2013, April 2015, and October 2017. In January 2019, the then minister again reconsidered Wallace's parole and again refused it, this time citing conflicting psychological reports from three experts, which he said made it difficult to make a decision. After the Constitutional Court judgment, a visibly upset Hani, who has consistently opposed parole for the convicted Polish murderer, said the court was not concerned with justice. Quote, "I've been in and out of court, and Wallace lost all the cases. Now these ones, because in South Africa they are gods, what they say goes. I wish them the best. You know about karma. Watch the space, all of them. I give them 2 years. This judgment is diabolical. And my understanding of Zondo's judgment as he was talking, indirectly he said Wallace did well to kill my husband. Now let me tell you, if my husband was not killed, we would never have had elections. That's why today Zondo and his friends are in court. Otherwise we would still be under apartheid. He would be in a shack doing his practice." Chris Hani was the leader of the South African Communist Party, the SACP, and chief of staff of Umkhonto weSizwe, the armed wing of the ANC. The general secretary of SACP, Solly Mapayila, who was also in court, said the judgment was disappointing and based on a lot of inconsistency. According to Mapayila, Wallace had never shown remorse for what he had done and allegedly even attacked a fellow prison mate for having former President Nelson Mandela's picture on his wall. In quotes, "Justice has given birth to injustice today, and this is our history, unfortunately. The midwives of democracy and justice in this country have become the victims of it." This is from TheGuardian.com, an article from back in the day in 2018, written by Christian Davies, Sunday, the 11th of November, 2018. 4 years ago. "Heroes welcome in Poland awaits hitman who killed Mandela's ally. Janus Wallace, who shot dead South African communist leader Chris Hani, could soon return home." This was obviously one of the failed applications. I want to see which parts are important here for me to read. Wallace didn't concern himself with politics when he lived in Poland. He preferred racing cars, but after moving to South Africa, he became involved in pro-apartheid and far-right movements, including the white supremacist Afrikaner resistance movement of Eugene Terblanche. On the Monday of the 10th of April 1993, in Boksburg, east of Johannesburg, he approached the home of Chris Hani, a leader of the South African Communist Party and a commander of Umkhonto weSizwe, the armed wing of the African National Congress, and shot him at point-blank range in the chin, behind the ear, and in the chest. We found out about it from TV. Ewa Wallace, this is the daughter, told the Observer, sitting in a little cafe just off the main pedestrian thoroughfare in central Radom in Poland. First we heard it was a Polish immigrant, and then that it was Janus Wallace. I was really scared when I saw my mother. She aged 10 years in 1 minute. The assassination of the charismatic Hani, considered by many as a potential successor to Nelson Mandela as leader of the ANC, brought South Africa to the brink of a race war, just as the process of negotiating a transition from apartheid to a multiracial democracy was at its most fragile. Wallace and his co-conspirator Clive Darby Lewis, a right-wing member of parliament who opposed the peace process, was sentenced to death for the murder, but their sentences were commuted to life imprisonment after the death penalty was abolished in 1995. They were refused amnesty by South Africa's Truth and Reconciliation Commission in 1999 on the grounds that they had failed to make a full disclosure about the circumstances surrounding the ordering of the murder. Chris Hani was assassinated a year before our first democratic elections. The country at that time was awash in violence and fear, and his killing brought the peace process to a knife edge, said Zelda Venter, a senior court reporter in Pretoria who has reported extensively on the Wallace case. For many millions of South Africans, the scars left by those traumatic times are still raw. Those wounds were reopened when Wallace was granted parole by a court in Pretoria in 2016, a decision denounced by Hani's widow, Dimpo, as racist. The ruling was overturned and Wallace's parole denied in 2017 by the South African Minister of Justice, Michael Masuta. However, in September, South Africa's High Court set aside the minister's decision because of irregularities in the process, giving Masuta 120 days to reconsider the parole application. That raises the prospect that Wallace, who is now 65, back in 2018, and wishes to return to Poland to be with his family, could be released as early as next year, a possibility regarded with horror by men in South Africa. But while widely reviled in South Africa, Wallace is regarded by many on the Polish right as a modern-day resistance hero, a victim of the Polish communist regime he left behind in 1981. His killing of Hani is seen as motivated by a determination to prevent the imposition of communism in South Africa under the guise of black majority rule. The ANC are communist and they will destroy this wonderful country, Wallace had declared during his trial. They will squander all that was built here by whites with such difficulty. It pains me that everything here will be destroyed in the name of a multiracial utopia that will never work here. Wallace has become a cult figure among right-wing Polish football fans, in particular who frequently display banners at matches with his portrait and slogans such as "Free Janusz Wallace" and "Stay Strong, Brother." When football fans gathered at the Jasna Góra Monastery in southwestern Poland, the country's holiest shrine, for a patriotic pilgrimage in January last year, a priest led the congregation in prayer for Wallace's release. The National Radical Camp, the successor to a pre-Second World War Polish fascist movement, recently held an indoor football tournament in his honor. The cult of Janusz Wallace started in the 1990s, but it has really spread in the last couple of years because of his recent parole applications. And of course, it coincides with the rise of the far right in Poland, said Rafał Pankowski, a professor at Collegium Civitas in Warsaw and director of the Never Again Association, an anti-racism campaign group. It represents not only the growing acceptance of racism, but also a growing acceptance of politically motivated violence. I think I'll stop there. You guys are free to read these articles on your own. I think I was in junior primary school when I heard of the killing, assassination, murder of Chris Hani. I was at a school called Chelmsford Coloured School in Fairlie in Newcastle. At that time, we still weren't allowed to study with white children. It would only be a year or 2 years later where I'd be allowed to integrate and study at a school with white children. First being Arbor Park Primary in Newcastle, secondly being... But at Arbor Park Primary, they still segregated the children. There was a black class and a white class, and my mother went to go and fight for me to be included in the white class. But that sentiment left a bitter taste in her mouth. And we went to find a school at Newcastle Junior Primary, Busy Bee in Newcastle, where we were integrated with white children in school. And then the rest of my schooling career went forward from there. I remember we had a diary, daily news, when I was at Chelmsford. I think I was probably in sub A, sub B, which is grade 1, grade 2 today, where I remember even drawing a picture when they laid him to rest because there was a cap on his coffin. The death of Chris Hani, of which that's actually not even really his name. I'm going to tell you his real name now. Chris Hani's real name being Martin Thembisile Hani. It shook South Africa and South Africans at a time when the CODESA negotiations were being held. And after he was killed, I remember seeing a video of Toko Sekgwale crying hysterically, you know, at the scene where his body was laying there in a pool of blood. I was young. I didn't know much. It would be years later where I'd become black conscious. I'd have thoughts of radicalism during my university years, studying about the oppression of black people in South Africa and on the African continent and around the world. And I'd get angry and I'd feel like Nelson Mandela and all these guys were sellouts and they should have done more and we should have gone to war and people should have died and been killed because we were never meant to settle for anything less. Nelson Mandela called for calm and peace after the assassination and South Africans responded. No bombings, no mass killings. Life went on and the elections came and Nelson Mandela became president. You know, and here we are today with the democracy. Dimpo Hani, there's a video of her recently now that came out of her being interviewed and her anger at Chief Justice Raymond Zondo, at Cyril Ramaphosa and the ANC government administration, saying that there's no justice in this country and that Chief Justice Raymond Zondo and his people, the ANC and all the other leaders, are going to feel the wrath in the 2 years because of karma. She did credit Lindiwe Sisulu, who is one of the presidential candidates going into the ANC conference, national conference in December, as someone who at least is still speaking out to rubbish. And she said, it's shit, what's happening? I could get emotional, speak about the history of this country, the oppression of black people, how so many white people to this day still don't get it. Ah, apartheid is over, get over it. BEE is a racist policy. Come on, bro, for how long? Look at the ANC, it's corrupt. And you get emotional and triggered by what's happened in this country. Historically, currently, the failures of the ANC, the flip-flopping of some of the black political parties and their leaders, the selling out, of course, of some of the leaders who now sit in huge fancy homes, who own shares in mines and big companies that were responsible for some of the oppression and exploitation of black people during apartheid and even before under British colonization, colonialism rule. So Ramaphosa going to have a meal or tea with King Charles now, meeting with the Joe Bidens of this world, you know. Stories of Jacob Zuma, not just him, but even before him, that they've been paying Eugene de Kock, I think that's his name, one of the killers during the apartheid regime, that they still pay him a salary or stipend to this day. By the ANC-led government. I'm not going to read these articles, but just if you go Eugene de Kock payments on Google, 28 January 2021, timeslive.co.za, the ANC government, which paroled apartheid state assassin Eugene de Kock, even spending 200,000 rand a month in taxpayers' money. 29 January 2021, Zondo inquiry hears SSA, the security state security agency, paid between 100,000 rand to 200,000 rand a month to Eugene de Kock. Another article says he earns a 40,000 rand salary after his parole. These things can't but make you angry and make you think that, you know, maybe the ANC leadership were not and are not leaders of the black majority in this country. That Chris Hani had to be killed because he may have been an impediment to this fugazi of a rainbow nation that we have today, where only a handful of ANC leaders have become extremely rich overnight. Lindiwe Sisulu said something to this effect in a very emotional open letter this year, speaking about people that became overnight multimillionaires, billionaires, while the people still languish in poverty. You wonder, of course, if it's just convenient because now she wants to run for president. Why has she not been raising all of these matters all these years? We don't know. But the majority of black South Africans remain poor, and we have become officially a welfare state where 30 million people are on a grant today. Over 50% of the population, working population, is unemployed. 74% of the youth that are meant to have jobs don't have jobs. And it seems like the wealthy have not really been disturbed much from their wealth. Just a few new colorful faces that have come in. I could get emotional, but I've realized that these fights are not mine. And my emotions don't mean anything because realistically, a lot of us, a lot of you, you watch these videos, get worked up, you go crazy on Twitter, trends, and then you wake up on election day and you vote for the ANC or you vote for the EFF, which is ANC Lite. Julius Malema, Floyd Shibambu, Mbuyiseni Ndlozi, and some of those guys, they are products of the ANC. A lot of their policies are ANC policies, which realistically they probably won't implement if they get into power. We see some of their friends and some of the ways they move and their love for money and material things today, saying things like, we will not be poor. We didn't struggle to be poor. So why would they be poor after getting into power? Why would they allow the globe to sanction South Africa? And the realization that black people who claim to be revolutionaries to this day are not willing to sanction themselves, willing to buy only from black South African businesses, willing to only work for black South African owned businesses, willing to fight for land in court, buy land, including people like Andile Mngxitama of Black First, Land First, BLF. They speak a lot and they make a lot of noise, but on the ground, we don't know if they're really doing anything. Seems people just want to get into parliament so they can earn that 80 to 100,000 rand salary a month, get the benefits and the perks, become celebrities on social media, get invited to talk as an MP at various institutions and get paid fat fees, 50,000 rand to speak for an hour, become a minister, you know, have access to tenders and the tax coffers and wine and dine with the richest people in this country who become their political campaign funders. I think I'm just reporting on the news today. I think that's what I'm doing. It's obviously sad listening to Dimpoani. Sad. There's no justice in this country, of course. And I've said the justice system is not a justice system to me. It's a legal system. There's nothing just about it. Number one, it's predicated on money. If you don't have money, you can't post bail. You have to sleep in jail. If you don't have money, you don't get a good lawyer. Legal aid has got a backlog and they don't really give you the best lawyers to fight for you. You've got a chief justice who was placed there by a Cyril Ramaphosa, who was implicated in a Zondo commission by people like Brian Molefe, who has been charged now with Eskom. Matsila Koko, charged. Cyril Ramaphosa, don't touch him. The media doesn't touch him. Of course, the courts don't touch him. Bank statements that are meant to show who funds him have been sealed to this day. And all his foes, the Ace Magashules of this world, the Jacob Zumas of this world, have been charged, have been in prison, etc. But he's whining and dining with President Joe Biden, with King Charles and the like. And we don't know if we still even have a strong relationship with BRICS, Russia, China, etc. That's the country we live in. But again, you will vote for these people. Come 2024, you will wear your yellow, your green and black, and you'll be singing all the struggle songs, watching Sarafina, remembering Chris Hani, Bantu Biko, Robert Sobukwe, pretending to be black conscious and passionately black, when nothing about your life is passionately black. Nothing about your life is actually even passionately South African. We're on these American platforms today. We consume American media. We eat from American fast food joints. We labor for what we call white monopoly capital because they pay great salaries. And we live in these great suburbs that were built, of course, black exploited labor, but built for the benefit of a white minority, an elite minority. We have just become these dark-skinned white people that speak good English. Our panel speaks such good English. And we join some of these institutions that are doing work that the black ANC government is meant to be doing. We join the AfriForums and we pay them monthly because they fix potholes, patrol the borders. We're not serious. It's part of the reason why I decided I'm not going to fight for black people. It's not worth it. No one will avenge my death. You watch The Avengers. Tony Stark, Captain America, Steve Rogers, Natasha Romanoff. You know. They avenge. The Americans, they avenge. You bomb their Twin Towers, they'll come and bomb your entire country. Come and set up military bases. no backlash from the United Nations, from the Security Council there, from the International Criminal Court. Barack Obama and George Bush are not dictators and they are not responsible for crimes against humanity. So I realize there's no justice in this world. There's no justice in this country. I hate our courts. I hate the Constitution. I hate our political system and I hate a lot of our political leaders. And I realize it's important for me to focus on myself, focus on the people that are within my circles who believe in me, believe in us, and who are willing to roll up their sleeves and work. And that's all I can do and that's all I can focus on. And my hope is that those people, if ever someone killed me, would avenge my death. Not get people to sit in prison for life, no, to actually remove them completely off the face of the planet and ensure true justice, you know. And if not here, then move, migrate to fertile earth, to a country where some of the people, they believe in fighting for you and they see you. And they don't just toy toy and protest up and down and pretend like they're doing something. You know, I heard Panyaza Lesufi, who's currently the premier of Gauteng under the ANC and after David Makhura, saying that he's also saddened by the ruling and he feels this wasn't just. And he's saying we're going to need to have a day to do something about it. That something is probably going to be protesting, petitions, trying to get Chief Justice Raymond Zondo and Cyril and Minister Ronald Lamula to intervene. It's going to be a huge whatever it is. I'm no longer emotionally invested. And I'm so glad that I'm moving further and further away from being emotionally invested in the situation in this country. Because it's not just them. Like I said, it's you. It's us. We're not willing to do what's needed. We don't care. I know at least from my side that if anyone in my family was harmed like that, I'm not looking for the cops, not looking for a lawyer, not looking for judges to try and tell me what is right and what's wrong. I know what's right and what's wrong, and I'm hoping that in some way I will ensure that justice is served if that were to happen. I see it with the Cape Flats, the drug gangs there. I see it with some of the taxi industry guys. I see it with some of the tender guys, some of the political guys. They know what justice means. Mob justice in townships, they know what justice means. And they enact it. And I understand. They make mistakes. It's violent, it's aggressive, it's inhumane. But how do you retaliate? How do you react to someone who has done an inhumane act? You react as a civilized human and you let the rule of law take its course? Very sad. I understand Janusz Walus against communism, believing that he's fighting for what's right, and that's why so many right-wing people in Poland and even in South Africa saw him as a hero. These are people that take action. People that are like, no, but these guys are wrong. And he said this ANC government is going to destroy what white people have built. What's happening with the state-owned enterprises? What's happening with rampant corruption in this country? What's happening with the political killings? Tender killings. I want to work with people that are genuine, honest, that are here to work, that are here to defend their families, their loved ones, who understand the cost of freedom, the cost of privilege, who understand what true justice means. Not flimsy courts and bullshit and paperwork and fancy English and Latin. No. So yeah, I think that's all I wanted to say. I hope you'll have a great day. Stay blessed. Look after yourself. Introspect on how you're living your life. And if you're actually part of the solution or if you're actually part of the problem. It all starts and ends with the man in the mirror. As Michael Jackson said, everything begins and starts with you. Pin you out the black pen. Cheers.